Hey, Prime members, did you know that you could be listening to this show ad-free on Amazon Music? With Amazon Music, you get access to the most ad-free top podcasts. Avoid the ads and start listening today.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, May 16th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Buy now, pay later programs like Affirm and Sezzle have become popular with many consumers because they allow them to make purchases and pay over time, usually with no interest charged. But lately, some customers are facing a rude reality when checking out.
So more regular buy now, pay later users are finding that they're being rejected, and that's not something that they're used to. And some customers are finding that their spending limits have been lowered.
We'll talk with WSJ personal finance reporter Imani Moise about why these programs are tightening their credit standards. That's after the break.
What then will the future reveal?
There's one thing we know about the future. It's being built now.
We all have a stake in the future.
The future.
The future.
The future.
And the Wall Street Journal's Future of Everything podcast is here to give you a glimpse of what's on the way. I'm Danny Lewis. Join us as we dig into how science and technology are shaping the future.
For that is where you and I are going to spend the rest of our lives.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Some consumers who use buy now, pay later programs like Klarna and Affirm are facing a harsh reality, being rejected when it's time to check out. WSJ personal finance reporter Imani Moise is here to explain why these programs are implementing these changes. So Imani, first of all, what are buy now, pay later programs and why have they become so popular?
Buy now, pay later programs are basically installment lending. It's a form of short-term loan that's available to shoppers at the point of sale. And they became really, really popular in recent years because they give people the option to pay in installments, usually for zero interest. The most popular version of this is a pay-in-four, which means that you get to split your purchase into four payments 2 weeks apart.
How do these programs compare to, say, a credit card or a layaway plan? And who are they geared toward?
So it's similar to a credit card in that when you make the purchase, that item is yours, you could take it home. But it's different from a credit card because they usually don't charge interest and the payments are in installments as opposed to a purchase hitting your statement and you have to pay it off by the end of the month or you risk paying interest. And it's similar to layaway in the installment payments, but in a traditional layaway plan, you don't get to take that item home until you've made all of your payments. They're really geared towards anyone who shops online, but the demographic of people who are most comfortable shopping online tends to be younger consumers. However, people who don't have access to more traditional kinds of credit, like credit cards or other types of loans, may lean on buy now, pay later more because it's seen as more accessible. The credit checks are lighter, and because the payment period is so short, they're more willing to lend to people without a credit history.
We've talked on the show before about how these programs have made it relatively easy for consumers to sign up for these payment plans and to make purchases. What's changed for consumers?
So more regular buy now, pay later users are finding that they're being rejected, and that's not something that they're used to. And some customers are finding that their spending limits have been lowered.
Why are buy now, pay later programs implementing these changes?
Because buy now, pay later lending is a very rate sensitive business. And because interest rates have been rising, it's become much harder to offer those zero interest loans. So then buy now, pay later providers have had to pull back a lot more than traditional lenders because while banks can rely on deposits to fund loans, buy now, pay later companies have to borrow from either investors or from other banks to make their loans that they offer to consumers. If you find yourself rejected for a buy now, pay later loan when you've maybe gotten one of just a few weeks earlier, you may wonder what you're doing wrong, but it's possible that recent rejections may be more due to problems in the buy now, pay later business model than the applicant's credit.
You spoke to several consumers who use buy now, pay later and who've run into these changes. What do they tell you?
Well, some people really see it as a wake-up call, right? A lot of times when people are relying on buy now, pay later, you're probably buying something that you don't really need. Maybe if you could only afford it with forced installments, maybe you just can't afford it. So some people take it as, all right, I need to take a breath and maybe not be as impulsive in my spending or aspirational with my purchases. But there are some people who are feeling frustrated by this because buy now, pay later for some people has become a way of life. One stat that really jumped out to me was that between 2019 and 2021, buy now, pay later loans jumped from $2 billion to $24 billion. So a lot of people got used to using these payment plans pretty frequently.
Now, as you alluded to, the buy now, pay later business model seemed to benefit from extremely low interest rates that we saw over the past several years. Well, now that interest rates are much higher, how could that change this industry and consumers' experiences going forward?
It's getting more expensive to borrow. That's the point of higher interest rates. So it's just going to be much harder to find zero interest the way that a lot of shoppers got accustomed to over the past few years. For example, more than two-thirds of the loans that a firm made in the most recent quarter had interest, which means that it's not the pay-in-four plans that so many people got used to.
That's Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Amani Moiz. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.